Need some outfit inspiration? See the hottest street fashion Utah has to offer in our monthly Slug Style feature.
Shh, are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. My name is Josely Paulette, and I play guitar and sing and write all of the songs for my project, which is also called Josely Paulette. I have recruited several of my friends to come and play on this record with me. They are Carson Wolf playing the drums, Genevieve Smith on the cello, Jory Carroll on the lead guitar, Spencer Howe plays the bass, Sydney Goodwill on the piano, and Kat Day and Harvey Day on vocals. Kat also plays the banjo on a track on the record, and Joe Kingston plays pedal steel on one track. The album we're about to release is called Strangers. It's a collection of songs that I released as an EP back in 2014, just by myself, recorded it at my dad's house. Nothing fancy, just vocals and guitar. We've revisited those songs and released it as a full-length album on vinyl with a couple more new tracks, and it's really exciting. Growing up in Ogden was such a weird experience. My family's lived there for a really long time. It's a small community. My parents were both big in the music scene there. Growing up with my last name, people knew who my parents were, and that kind of set a reputation ahead of me a little, unfortunately, at times. But coming of age there was really interesting. I mostly just wanted to get the hell out of there most of the time. I did early college, and just mostly so I could skip class and listen to Nico Case and smoke cigarettes in my car. I started playing music when I was really young, about 8 or 9. My dad taught music lessons out of our house, so I lucked out with that. But as far as writing my own stuff, I was a pretty young teenager doing that. Around 14 or 15, I started recording. My dad bought me just a little MacBook and with GarageBand and started writing and recording songs. I kind of felt like the natural progression of that was to start playing songs. I was listening to tons of Feist and Jessica Lee Mayfield and things where I would go to see shows at Kilby Court and was like, okay, I need to be doing that. I need to not just write these songs, I need to be playing them live. Somehow got connected with Will Sartain and started playing shows at Kilby Court. I honestly think I was about 15 the first time I played there, which I still have no idea how I did that. I don't remember ever having that conversation of I want to play here. It just happened, and I was so nervous all the time. But honestly, I felt like giving a presentation in class was a little bit more terrifying than singing songs in front of people. It's never been too terrifying to sing, and I mean, being an awkward teenager was rough enough, so I might as well have added some super awkward songs and played them in front of people, and it didn't make anything too much worse. After getting started at playing Kilby shows as a solo artist for so long and growing up doing that, I kept playing shows there and at little coffee shops, and the songs on Strangers really reflect being a solo artist and being a young person, and just being on your own and playing as a solo artist is so nice because you get to set your own schedule, you can stay up all night, you can do it however you want to do. And the songs on Strangers really came from a desire to stay alone and be a solo person, not just in music, but through everything. I mean, I was kind of a loner kid in high school, didn't want to like talk to most people, and being a solo artist kind of gave me the opportunity to keep doing that in my art as well. I moved to Seattle as it was somewhere where I always wanted to be all through high school, and I had just dreams of the Pacific Northwest, and being a musician up there was always something really prominent in my life. And when I graduated and was ready to get the hell out of Ogden like I'd always wanted to, I just met Jory and we just started dating, and he wanted to go with me. I was like, my plans are not going to change, but if you want to come, that's awesome. And he's also a musician, so he saw the appeal of the Pacific Northwest, and we wanted to go out there together. So much music that we love together comes from there, and we were just ready for a change and to get out. We both graduated from school. Once I got there, it kind of seemed like that was the dreams of somebody that I wasn't anymore. So I was fulfilling exactly what 16 and 17 year old me wanted to do. I was up there and playing music and writing music and working in a coffee shop, and it was really cool, but it didn't really feel like it was what I'd want anymore. We got up there and we tried to find a house to rent, and after we lived in a really shitty little duplex for a while. Looked for a house for a good couple months, and it was the most frustrating, expensive, horrible ordeal of my whole life. And just thought we could be back home, we could afford a much cheaper house, we could get a yard and a garden and things that were important to me that I didn't realize had been important to me until that point. So it was a really good way to get out there and kind of reprioritize what I wanted. I didn't know anybody up in Seattle. I knew a few friends that had moved up there. As far as networking and getting shows, it was really tough. There are a lot of female acoustic artists up there trying to do the same thing that I was, and they're all really incredible. And it's tough to jump up there without the background or knowing people that book shows like I knew here, and to go from turning down gigs pretty regularly here because I didn't have time to begging places like, please take a chance on me. I promise I'm not the most boring. So that was always a little tough. Jory even started busking at farmers markets up there and had a little sign that was like looking for gigs. And it was really fun, and it was kind of dreamy, and it still kind of feels like a dreamlike experience. We were only there for about a year and a half, and it still doesn't quite feel real, but it was a really good experience and really made me appreciate everything about home a lot. It was a little too busy and expensive, and I'll always love visiting there, but I don't think it'll ever be a place where I want to live again. I'm still happy with the decision to move back to SLC. So we ended up coming back to Salt Lake City. It was about almost 2 years ago now. We came back to Salt Lake. And before I had moved in 2014, I recorded all these songs just because I felt like I needed to get them out there before I made a big change. I wasn't sure what Seattle was going to be like. I didn't know if I'd have time or the equipment to be able to record anything up there, so I recorded them quickly. They were my newest songs at the time. And it was an 8-song EP, and I just pushed it out and released it. Didn't have like a release thing or anything, just made it available online and kind of called it good. Those songs never quite felt finished to me. They were all written at a very specific time in my life that I was definitely transitioning out of, and I didn't want to be a part of that life anymore, but it felt like a good way to say goodbye to that period of my life and who I was at that point. But I didn't feel like it was a very aggressive goodbye. It was just kind of, oh, well, these songs exist, here they are. So I kind of kept them in my back pocket when I moved to Seattle, and I wrote a couple new songs up there. And when we got back, I was just so excited to be here, where everybody I know is a musician, and everybody I know that is a musician is somebody that I love and somebody whose music I adore. So I had all of these songs and was like, maybe we could do this. And I talked to Carson, my drummer, a little bit about it. I had sang on his record. He goes by Vincent Draper. And our friend Charles Ellsworth, I'd sing on their record together. And just seeing the process and the community that it takes to build a record here and all of the people involved in each process, I got really excited about it. But I just moved back. I didn't really have a steady job or anything, so I kind of just put it on the back burner. I didn't think about it a whole lot. My friends at Lavender Vinyl, they just opened their record store, Lavender Vinyl, in Ogden, and they had talked to me briefly about wanting to kind of start their own little mini label, and they wanted to put out whatever my next project was. So whether it was a brand new record that I did, which I hadn't written any new songs since these ones, really, just a couple. So I knew that was out of the picture, but I thought maybe I could revisit these songs from 2014 and create something with this community that I'd been such a big fan of. Those songs felt like some of the best writing that I had done, but I was ready to move past it and make room for more writing. So Carson sent me a riff that he did on Dig, and I'd never played it with anybody else. He recorded this really neat guitar riff just on his phone. The ideas just started flowing. Was like, we could do this to all of these songs. We could make this really neat. So that was kind of where I started thinking about bringing these specific people into it. Genevieve had written a harmony part for my song Strangers that's on this record, and she wrote it. It's been 4 or 5 years, and she wrote it. We got drunk one night together, and she's like, I wrote this part for your song. And I was just totally flattered and amazed that somebody would want to do that with something that I wrote. Just the fact that these people that I knew that were great musicians liked these songs enough to kind of come up with these new ideas for them. I thought, well, maybe these are the right songs. And I picked the people to be on this record more so, and they're all incredibly talented musicians, and I love everything they do outside of what this project is. But I loved them more as people and more as my friends first. I mean, they're incredible, and I go to their shows, and I would go to their shows if I didn't know them as people. But having that connection and having the ability to goof off with them, and we tell dumb jokes, and they're people that I can text about my problems and really relate to on such a human level. And then once we get to that point where we're comfortable and we're chatting and having a great time, then we can create something musically that's really cool. And the only person that I didn't know personally before starting this record was Joe Kingston, and he plays pedal steel. But he was reined in by Spencer Howe, who plays bass for me, and he goes to school at Weber State, and they had a class together or something. And we brought Joe in, and he did one song, and he did such a great job on it.
There was a spark. You stomped it out with your steel toe boots.
I printed off like a packet of notes for everybody the first practice that we did before we started recording. And the notes at the top were really vague, just like, maybe this has a bluegrassy feel at the chorus and maybe a little spooky at this part, but nothing specific. Rarely the instruments that I wrote at the top of each of those notes that I wanted on the song ended up being what we put on the song. And we started just doing live tracking with myself playing acoustic guitar, and then Carson on the drums and Spencer playing his bass. This was like December, and it was freezing, and we recorded the album in an airplane hangar over at the Ogden Airport. Casey Romney is who recorded this album for us, and it was just, each time was just the most fun experience. Even though we were getting so much done and we were being so productive, we were just having a great time, and we were laughing and joking and freezing our asses off. Casey, who recorded the record, really helped a lot with that. He's been in several bands in Ogden, and he's recorded a few albums for local artists, and he just had an idea of what things maybe could sound like, and he was really open to trying different things while we were recording. He'd say, that was cool, but why don't we try it this way? And so we had a lot of different options to go with, and he kind of became sort of a producer in that sense, and really helped and kind of met me to the point where I was just flabbergasted the whole time that other people were playing on my songs. Genevieve could do one thing on the cello, and there'd be a cello on my song that didn't have cello before, so I'd be like, oh my god, this sounds amazing. And it could be something that we had to redo a couple times and ended up sounding totally different, because I was just so excited by everything, and Casey would be there to be like, well, let's try this and let's do this a little bit differently. So everybody that recorded the record, I want them to feel like it's their record too, because everybody wrote their own parts. Everybody had so much say in it. At least I hope they feel like they did. We took something that I had made a skeleton of, and all of these really talented and incredible people took it and turned it into something totally different, but better than I could have ever imagined. As far as the other artists that are involved, it was really important to me to not only just bring in my musician friends that are artists in this community, but to bring in my visual artist friends as well. I had my friend Eden Buxton. She did photography at Weber State. She's an incredible person. She had originally done this photo series, and I loved it, and it was about 4 or 5 years ago, and I used one of the photos as the cover for the EP that I did, and I really loved that photo, and I wanted to stick with using it for the new release, but to just kind of revamp it. So she took it, and she edited it, and it's very subtly different, but I really love the way it turned out. It's a little bit brighter brighter. The colors are just slightly different, which I think is a good way to look at the record itself. And then Jackson Kerbs is a design student, and he did the design for the record. So he did the back cover and he took some photos. He didn't take the photos, but my friend Trevor Wilson, who used to live here, he lives in New York now, took some professional photos for me, and Jackson was able to take those and incorporate them into the lyric sheet and the back cover of the record. Jackson also did the labels on the actual vinyl, which are my favorite part once it comes out. I'm so excited to just point out this one very specific thing. I had it mixed at Studio Dada, which is Stephen Cope. They are a really incredible staple in the Provo music scene, which I've never even been a little bit a part of, but I had a lot of friends recommend Stephen to do the mixing for this record, and they did just such a wonderful job. Stephen recommended me to see Cade Thalman for mastering, and these are all processes that I've never been through, so to take somebody who is so new at this and hand over their baby, basically, to these people that I'd never met before, and they did such a good job in the mixing and the mastering. Chloe Monson, I reined her in to do our t-shirt design for us, which I absolutely adore. Same thing. I just kind of told her what the record was about and said, you have like 3 months, just send me something when you want to. And she did, and it's absolutely incredible. And Harvey, who does backup vocals on the record, he screen printed all of the t-shirts. It's been a huge process. I've made my mom make so many buttons. I have to start paying her now. And it's a really cool way to get people that are interested in some of my songs, maybe interested in Goose Chase, which is Kat, my vocalist and banjo player, her and her husband Casey, who recorded our album. It's their band. Or to get more people over to Studio Dada, or to get people that maybe like one of Chloe's drawings to like some of my songs. And I really love that idea of spreading visual art and audible art and putting it all together, and everybody's just kind of doing the same struggle and we're all just trying to make it work. It's so great when it can all come together and we can all promote each other and get that experience and exposure out there for all of us without just beelining it and just being one person working on one project. It's so many people and spreading so much of that to everybody else. So coming back to Salt Lake City was that kind of, I'm still close to my home where I grew up and my roots, but I'm in enough of a city that I feel like I have that little bit of the Pacific Northwest in there with me. But the music scene here has always just been so encouraging and warm and welcoming to me since I was a teenager. I was a baby playing shows out here and had just wonderful support from so many different people, and to leave that behind and to come back and people just to treat me like nothing changed, like I hadn't even been gone a day, was so nice, and it just made me so confident in my decision that I had come back to Salt Lake City. I wanted to be less of the background vocalist and wanted to do something where we encouraged more female artists especially to get out there. Genevieve and I always talk about being just kind of a cheerleader, and we were like, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to be like the front women in these badass bands, and we're going to make it work, and we're going to make it cool, and we love the scene in Salt Lake City, and we want to bring more women to the front of it instead of the background, because there's so many incredible women in the city doing badass stuff and not enough people know about it, and we wanted to just push it all a little bit more to the forefront. The song that we're going to play is a song called Ghost, and it is one of the two new tracks on this record that weren't on the EP, one of the very few songs that I wrote while I was in Seattle. And the feeling of this song when I first wrote it, it was really happy compared to everything else that I'd written. I'm all about writing sad songs and listening to sad music. That's my favorite thing to do. So this song being happy and having a positive feeling to it was so different for me to write, and the group of musicians that I have on this track really just drive that home. They took that feeling of positivity and having an idea of where you're getting to, and the song is about not letting your past and your memories and your previous fallouts drag you down and keep going even if things are crazy and you miss people and your life is completely changing. as long as you're not letting those old ghosts follow you and you're moving past them, then things are going to be okay. Sydney, who played the piano on a couple tracks, this is my favorite song that she's on. She did a really cool organ on the choruses that I just love. I think it sounds so neat. My favorite band of all time is Magnolia Electric Company, and they do just super creepy organ in the back of so many super sad folk songs. And this was like that moment for me where I realized that maybe what I was making kind of a little bit, a tiny, tiny bit, sounded like the stuff that I love. So that's this song. It's Ghost off of Strangers.
Thank you.
album release show is going to be a big party at Funkin' Dive, which is a bar on Washington Boulevard in Ogden. That will be this Saturday. We've got Taylor Ross Wilson. His band is Little Barefoot, who's one of my most favorite indie pop, local or not, bands. He's going to be opening for us, as well as Goose Chase, who I mentioned before, is my audio engineer, Casey, and his beautiful wife, Kat, who did vocals and banjo on the record. Their songs are so good and cute and positive, and I love it. We've also got a touring band called Fort Defiance. I believe they're another husband and wife duo out of Nashville. They're coming through that night, and we just were really excited about them coming through and decided to add them to the bill. Then the very next night, for those folks that Ogden's just a little too far away, we're playing at Kilby Court with Carson's band Vincent Draper and the Coles, as well as another Nashville native, Caitlin Lucia, will be playing that one as well. So as of Saturday morning, this Saturday the 8th, you can hear the full album on Bandcamp, and it'll be out on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, all that fun stuff. The vinyl will probably be available a little bit later in the month, but we'll have a neat way for you to pre-order it if you come to the release shows, where you get a little goodie bag with some stickers and buttons and all that fun stuff. So you can tune in on Saturday morning around 9-ish. We'll be playing on KRCL a couple of the tracks from the new record too on Chanelie's show.
Sponsored by 90.9 FM KRCL Radio. Listen for Wilco, Ryan Adams, Beck, and Elvis Costello. Listen today, 90.9 FM.